You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, we do what we do because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, just a great pleasure to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada, and indeed around the world via the internet. As always, you can contact the Christian Research Institute, access the resources I talk about on the broadcast on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me as well at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I've mentioned this before, but we not only have an Equip app that you can download for free on Apple, but we now have it on Android devices as well. You can listen live to the broadcast. You can listen to archived broadcasts. You can read articles. You can listen to Ask Hank features and much, much more. Again, go to equip.org/app and download your app free of charge. A lot of you hanging on, as I mentioned. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Joanne listening in Rogers, Arkansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
As I said before, you could do a whole program on the questions I have for you, but I'll limit it to one.
Okay.
What is a Coptic Christian?
Well, you know, the Coptic Church is one of the oldest Christian churches. In fact, traces its birth back to St. Mark in Alexandria, Egypt. Coptic actually refers to both the people and the language of Egypt prior to the 7th century. And Alexandria was one of the original patriarchal sees, and the Coptic Church produced some of the most important theologians and bishops of the early Christian Church. Think of Clement, Origen, Athanasius, and the like. So, yeah, great, great roots. But just as many churches have devolved into tradition without life, that is the danger. I have, however, met many Coptic believers who have not only tradition, but great life as well. So again, Coptic Christianity gets its name from both its language and its people group.
Well, what the Coptic language, is that like Egyptian?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, it's the language of Egypt prior to the 7th century.
Can I ask you one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
These people that pray to idols and you know, like Hindus and Muslims and all the cults and all. Well, who answers their prayers when they get answered?
Well, they don't have their prayers answered because their prayers are not in concert with the will or purposes of God. So prayers to idols are simply predilections that people have based on their own superstitions. So if someone is not standing in the counsel of God to see or to hear his word, we shouldn't listen to them, nor should we follow their practices if they are asking idols for empty promises, because only God knows what is best for us. Only God knows the future. Only God can answer. Wooden idols cannot speak, they cannot answer, they cannot do anything. To mutter to them is simply to speak in vain.
Yes, so then they never get any prayers answered.
Not by praying to idols, absolutely not. Now, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but idols cannot answer.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Michael next, listening in Crestwood, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Michael.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome.
I had a question about the atonement of Jesus. I come from a, I've been a Christian for about 4.5 years, and I was in a, I guess you could say an Arminian church. I don't really like using all these terms, but I was in a Christian church. Now I'm in a Reformed church just because I find the doctrines of grace and all those things, I find them very biblical, very powerful. And one of them about the atonement, with the Old Testament, I think we would all agree as a Christian community that the animals' sacrifices were a foreshadow of Christ to come, a typology, I guess you could say. Those sacrifices were only, we know they didn't take away the sin of people, but they, I guess you could say they temporarily took away the sins. But either way, they didn't cover a person who was not making that sacrifice, correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, people are saved on both sides of the cross in precisely the same way. So Abraham was not saved by what he did, but he was saved because of his faith. So through types and shadows, as you point out, he looked forward in shrouded imagery to the ultimate substance that would come, Jesus Christ. So Abraham was not saved after circumcision, but rather before circumcision. He was saved by his faith. And Paul makes that argument in Romans chapter 4.
Okay. So my question, though, is, if I was living back in those days when animal sacrifices were used, and I was under sin, I had no faith, there was no animal sacrifices being made for me, I would have no forgiveness of that sin, correct?
Yeah, because here's what goes on in the Old Testament. People are brought into a community of faith that through types and shadows looks forward to the coming Savior. And again, it's a shrouded room, as it were, because Abraham didn't have the light that you have, but he had the same faith in Yahweh, the God of Israel. And again, through the types and shadows, through the sacrificial system that you mentioned, we look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ if we are in the Old Testament, just as you and I now look back at the cross with complete clarity.
Okay. See, I completely agree with that. So my question, I guess I'm maybe going away around, you know, I'm going this the long way, I guess I could say. I agree with that totally. So what I'm saying is if I was under sin in the Old Testament, I had no sacrifice to cover me. Fast forward to the New Testament, when Jesus died on the cross, and to this day, if people don't believe in him and have faith in him, how can his atonement be covering unbelievers? So I don't believe Jesus' blood was shed for Adolf Hitler if he was never saved, which I don't think he would have been saved. But I don't see how Christ could have died for all men if all men don't believe. How can there be men in hell if Christ died for all the sins of the world? And I kind of look at, I relate it to the Old Testament.
Well, his blood is certainly sufficient for the sins of all of humankind. In fact, only Christ's blood would be sufficient for the sins of all of humankind, because he is the Anthropos, the God-man. But it is only efficient for those who respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit in faith. I do not believe, however, that God creates people who are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. We are justly and condignly condemned because we do not respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. So there are many that Jesus Christ said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, how often I have longed to gather you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." The one thing that we see in Scripture is that we have a sovereign God. He doesn't have to work with a stacked deck. So we believe not only in the sovereignty of God, but the justice of God. But with that, we keep very much in the picture, front and center, human culpability.
I agree. I mean, there's definitely a paradox in the Bible of human responsibility and God's sovereignty. I just don't... I guess what I'm saying is, I guess the limited atonement for me is all connected with election. you know, Jesus came and died for a distinct group of people. I don't believe that God condemns people. We're all born condemned already. I don't believe God creates people for hell. But I also see that the Bible doesn't teach the Bible. I don't believe the Bible teaches that a person is able to respond to the call unless God is drawing them. So,
but certainly this was something that Calvin believed in. He said that God arranges all things by his sovereign counsel in such a way that individuals are born who are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. And modern-day Calvinists say much the same thing. You know, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, the reality is this is what is being taught. For example, R.C. Sproul, who I very much admire, says God wills all things that come to pass. God desired for men to fall into sin. And then he went on to say, I'm not accusing God of sinning, but I am suggesting that God created sin. Now, I simply would disagree with that. I would say that God created the potential for sin, but human beings actualize that sin by their choices. And I therefore hold to what is called libertarian freedom as opposed to circumstantial or compatibilistic freedom. In the circumstantial freedom or compatibilistic freedom view, God creates people in such a way that they cannot respond to the gospel any more than a cow can fly. They simply don't have ears, therefore they can't respond to the gospel. I don't hold to that. I hold to libertarian freedom, that we have the ability to act or to act otherwise. And again, I do not believe that God created sin. I believe God created the potential for sin, and that sin is actualized by human beings. But all of us, in my view, can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And when we do not, we are then justly and condignly condemned. I think this is the ultimate enhancement of the sovereignty of God. Again, I don't think God has to work with a stacked deck. He can sovereignly work through genuinely free creatures and yet affect his purposes. But again, this is a debate that is held between Calvinists and non-Calvinists. And we have actually done a very good job, I think, in the Christian Research Journal of bringing together a great Calvinist thinker and a great non-Calvinist thinker, both very biblically inclined, biblically literate, and they debate this issue in such a way that you can look back at the scriptures and come to a clear understanding without any confusion. There's a bit of confusion in what you were saying in the prologue to your question, and so I think these articles might be extraordinarily helpful to you. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Lamont. He's listening in Richardson, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lamont.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay. So the question pertains to sexual sin, and specifically, you know, masturbation. That word is actually not, I haven't seen it in scriptures, but I know it kind of falls under the umbrella of sexual sin. So there's always been a debate ever since I was a young Christian to now regarding that. So I kind of want to get your take on it from that standpoint and just kind of get some clarity around that.
Well, I think what's important is that we don't lust or fantasize after someone you're not married to. And solo sex certainly has that ingredient as almost inextricably, I would say, woven into it. Certainly masturbation in conjunction with pornography, as a classic case in point, would be sinful. We were made for sexual union, male and female, not for solo sexual activity. So the highest good is to work in the way in which you were designed by God. This is an issue, however, that is dealt with in a bit more detail in God's Design for Sex, which is a book that we now have available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. A lot of chapters that are constituted by the best resources that we have put together over the years in the Christian Research Journal in this regard.
Okay. And real quick follow-up. What about those that kind of argue about it's just a physiological, release, even though there's no fantasizing, there's no, there's nothing to, promote the fantasy. It's just, hey, this is something that happens. This is something that, because it happens, I'll continue this activity.
Yeah, well,
that particular argument?
I think it's unrealistic because I think that sex is not simply a physical activity. It is a metaphysical activity as well. It involves the entirety of your humanity. In fact, the articles we have, or the chapters we have in God's Design for Sex on pornography, underscore that point. There's a great article that best addresses this in the most comprehensive fashion in terms of the metaphysical aspects of sexuality. An article that is entitled The Effects of Porn on the Male Brain by William Struthers. I think that would be very, very helpful. I read it just the other day, and I think if you get this resource, it would greatly enlighten you in that regard. And by the way, that's why we put this resource together. Sexuality is inextricably part of what we are as human beings. You cannot eradicate that from our nature. It's part of both the physical and metaphysical aspects of our humanity. Therefore, God's Design for Sex is not just for some, it's for all. You ought to read it. Great resource available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Best way to get it is online at equip.org. Be right back with more answers.
As an organ of the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. Hank Hanegraaff wants to put a powerful book into your hands today. It's readable, it's short, and it's a book you'll read more than once. It's A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God, and Hank wants to send you this timeless classic to thank you for your gift to help the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast close a funding shortfall of $250,000 caused by an unexpected drop in donations over the summer months. So thank you for your support at this crucial time. And when you give, please request your copy of The Pursuit of God, which will help you experience the life of Christ in a new and vital way. All you have to do is request your copy when you call with your donation. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Hank Hanegraaff wants to put a powerful book into your hands today. It's readable, it's short, and it's a book you'll read more than once. It's A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God, and Hank wants to send you this timeless classic to thank you for your gift to help the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast close a funding shortfall of $250,000 caused by an unexpected drop in donations over the summer months. So thank you for your support at this crucial time. And when you give, please request your copy of The Pursuit of God, which will help you experience the life of Christ in a new and vital way. All you have to do is request your copy when you call with your donation. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. or visit us online at equip.org. Equip.org. Christianity isn't just an argument. It's an experience, a life that's been exchanged and engrafted. It's the powerful truth of the very life of Christ within. Hank Hanegraaff wants you to be blessed with this understanding by sending you a copy of A.W. Tozer's book titled The Pursuit of God. It's his gift to thank you for your donation today to help close a $250,000 funding gap coming out of a drop in support over the summer months. So thank you for your support. And be sure to request your copy of The Pursuit of God when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Let's rejoin our host, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Hannah, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, WHVN. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. My question is that as a Christian, if you have signed a non-compete contract for work, then you should honor that. Is that correct?
Yeah, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. Yeah, I think we should be those that honor our word. Our word should be more binding than the contract that we sign our name to.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, have a good one.
You got it, Hannah. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Larry. He's listening in Macon, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Larry.
God bless you, Hank. I know you've worked awful hard in your life doing what you're doing, and I'll tell you, God has just revealed so much to you. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
My question, Hank, is I try to witness to some, you know, people, and of course it's difficult. It's always difficult. But I'm trying to witness to this girl, and she's very analytical. I mean, there's no black and white. Everything is totally, you know, has to analyze everything. But my problem is, the biggest problem is that, where do you go? How do you tell these folks that these people were inspired by God to do their writing? Because what I'm hearing is, you know what? People have changed history over the years. They can change. They've changed the Bible over the years. They left chapters out of the Bible. And, you know, they're just men. They could have written anything you want. Where do you go with that, Hank?
Well, you know, what's interesting, that kind of accusation could be made against the Book of Mormon, but never against the Bible. Anthropology and archaeology have utterly discredited the Book of Mormon, but exactly the opposite is true with respect to the Bible. The places, the people, the particulars that you find in the Word of God correspond to reality. With virtually every turn of the archaeologist's spade, we have more and more evidence that the Bible is minutely correct, which is to say it is correct in its minutest details. There were those who used to think that John's description of the pools in his gospel were simply a religious conceit, something that people wanted to believe because they wanted to believe it, not because it was true. But then in 2004, archaeology came to the rescue once again, and again, the very minute details, even of the porticos and so forth, correspond to reality, as it turns out. So archaeology has been a great friend to the Scripture. I still remember, I mean, if you think back to the days of the Enlightenment, people used to say, you know, the Assyrians were not really an authentic people group, because at that time there was no evidence for Assyria except for what you found in the Bible. And then Layard, the great Assyriologist, began digging along the Tigris River and dug up Nineveh, which is the crown jewel, as it were, of the entire empire. And then they found all of these things that were detailed in the Scripture, again, corresponded to reality. And God has preserved His Word. He has preserved His Word through the manuscript evidence. And those manuscripts, again, are something that could not have been controlled by any ecclesiastical authority, because the biblical manuscripts were quickly copied and they were lost in the sands of time and have come to light long before any strong ecclesiastical authority could have controlled what was going on. You also have the prophecy that you find in the Bible, which you don't find in any other religious writing, which is to say, prophecy that can't be attributed to luck, good guessing, or common sense. You do find a self-fulfilling prophecy, for example, in the Quran. Muhammad would return to Mecca, far different from the kinds of prophecy that you find in the Bible, where Daniel, writing in the 6th century before Christ, is able to delineate a succession of empires with precision and even say precisely what's going to happen in the 2nd century with Antiochus the 4th Epiphanes and the like. So, you know, the Bible demonstrates itself to be true through the manuscript evidence, through archaeological evidence, through predictive prophecy, and through synergy, which is to say that the Bible corresponds in realism to itself. Each part is an integral part of the whole. It is synergistic within itself. And so I have actually written a book in this regard that lays this out in a lot of detail, but also in a memorable format. It's called Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Fact that the Bible is, in fact, the Word of God.
Okay. Well, were there books left out of the Bible?
No, of course not. You know, and the books that supposedly are left out of the Bible were never designed for the Bible whatsoever. First of all, many of those books that are talked about are like the Gospel of Thomas. But if you read the Gospel of Thomas, it is not something left out of the Bible. It's an apocryphal gospel. It's a late Gnostic gospel. And if you read it, it is just horrendous in terms of the principles that it is communicating, particularly with respect to women. So while people make a lot out of that, it has no correspondence whatsoever to the Synoptic Gospels or to John.
Okay.
And again, I lay all of this out in the book, Has God Spoken?
Are you still signing your autograph on the Bible Answer book, one to order?
Yeah, absolutely. Or I can do that with Has God Spoken book as well, if you'd like.
Okay, well, I can order that over the computer.
Yep.
All right, Hank, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Elizabeth next. She's listening in Rogers, Arkansas. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. I want to know the difference between, like, you know, Baptists and, like, just regular Christians, because it's kind of confusing. I've been to many churches, and I just don't get why we're separated like this, you know, because, I mean, if we're the same, you know, supposedly the same denomination, then why are we separated?
Yeah, well, you know, denominations are typically formed over secondary issues, so matters of church government or modes of baptism or different views with respect to end times. So what I always say is in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. On the essentials, we're talking about the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood, and these form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. So as a classic case in point, the essential of essentials would be the deity of Jesus Christ. We cannot compromise, confuse, or contradict that. And why? Because it's an essential of the historic Christian faith. But we can debate eschatology, as I do on the broadcast. But I have no doubt that people that have a different view from the view that I hold, I have no doubt that they're believers. You can hold to the essential of eschatology, which is that Jesus will appear again. That is the hope of the believer. So we're unified around that, but the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, these are things we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over. Would it be best if there weren't any divisions? Of course. But the secondary issues are those issues that oftentimes have divided us into denominational groups. And would it, again, I mean, the greatest of all eventualities would be the oneness that is described by Paul in Romans chapter 12. That would be the ideal. But as fallen human beings, we don't attain to that ideal.
Okay. Well, I mean, what would you, are you just a regular Christian, or do you consider yourself Baptist?
No, I don't consider myself a Christian because I adhere to a denomination or a set of do's and don'ts. I consider myself a believer because I have received Jesus Christ, not just as an intellectual truth proposition, but as a reality. So I've not only received Jesus Christ in believing that I am saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone, but I believe as I am a believer in that I am a disciple, an apprentice of Jesus Christ who has the very life of Christ within.
Okay, I get it. And one more question, Hank.
Sure.
Because, like, I mean, I don't always listen to this, but I just started recently because I need to. So you go to, like, a lot of Christian churches. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Baptist and just, like, other names, like First Christian or Calvary Christian. You go to all kinds that believe in the same thing. You know, I mean, the Bible says believe in.
So what's the question?
Do you travel to other churches?
Oh, yes. Yes, I mean, again, the issue is, do they hold to the essentials of the historic Christian faith? That's what Paul said to Timothy. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. So what we have in common is life and truth. Around that, we are united. And without life and truth, we don't have unity. So we have to be unified when it comes to, again, life and truth. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers.
Okay, thank you, Hank.
You got it, Elizabeth. Night. You know what? If you'll hang on, I have a flip chart I'll put into your hands. It gives the essentials of the historic Christian faith. I think that might be really helpful to you.
Okay.
Okay? Bless you, Elizabeth. Let me mention, just as we go to break, the Christian Research Journal, we have a special fall offer code. In fact, it is the word fall, F-A-L-L. You can use that special offer code, fall, and receive the current edition of the Christian Research Journal free, plus 6 more issues at a reduced price. You can do all of this online at equip.org on the World Wide Web. And while you're on the web, you may want to get your copy of God's Design for Sex. We've been talking about it a lot. It is a resource that is most needed within the body of Christ. So we put this resource together. It is a book with many different chapters, but you'll understand God's design for sex. It is available for your gift, again, to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. I also want to mention the Equip app. It is now not only available for Apple, but it is also available for Android. You can listen to live broadcasts, you can listen to archived broadcasts, you can read articles, and you can listen to Ask Hank features on your new Android app. Just like the Apple app, you can download it free of charge and take the Bible Answer Man broadcast with you wherever you go. Do remember as well that as we are a ministry that is teaching Christians discernment skills, we're also a ministry that requires those Christians to stand with us prayerfully and financially. And what I mean is requires is basically to say we need you. We can't do it on our own. We don't want you to give grudgingly, but give with a grateful heart. Give as you've been given and help reach others around the world. This is a ministry reaching around the globe, making a difference for time and for eternity. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. I'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers right here.
Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? With the Equip app available free from the Christian Research Institute, you can. The Equip app is now available for Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read articles to help you learn and defend the faith. Go to equip.org and download this free app for your Android device today. Again, that's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back in a moment. Hank Hanegraaff wants to put a powerful book into your hands today. It's readable, it's short, and it's a book you'll read more than once. It's A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God, and Hank wants to send you this timeless classic to thank you for your gift to help the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast close a funding shortfall of $250,000 caused by an unexpected drop in donations over the summer months. So thank you for your support at this crucial time. And when you give, please request your copy of The Pursuit of God, which will help you experience the life of Christ in a new and vital way. All you have to do is request your copy when you call with your donation. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Hank Hanegraaff wants to put a powerful book into your hands today. It's readable, it's short, and it's a book you'll read more than once. It's A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God, and Hank wants to send you this timeless classic to thank you for your gift to help the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast close a funding shortfall of $250,000 caused by an unexpected drop in donations over the summer months. So thank you for your support at this crucial time. And when you give, please request your copy of The Pursuit of God, which will help you experience the life of Christ in a new and vital way. All you have to do is request your copy when you call with your donation. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. Equip.org. Are you ready to take a journey deep into the gracious, loving presence of God in Christ? A.W. Tozer's timeless classic, The Pursuit of God, helps you do just that. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of this important book to thank you for your financial support to help CRI overcome a drop in support this past summer of $250,000. So please know your support is vital and deeply appreciated. And please make sure to request your copy of The Pursuit of God when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Well, now it's time for more answers from the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Brad. He's listening in Sioux City, Iowa. Hi, Brad.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. First question was, God bless you for what you're doing. I've been listening to you for a couple of years. So,
oh, thank you.
So led to call. First question, how old were you when you felt led to do this radio ministry?
Well, it's a calling of God. And, you know, God orchestrates circumstances and people in such a way that you can fulfill your calling. And
right.
So, yeah, it's a calling of God on my life. And, you know, it's interesting. One of my favorite movies is Chariots of Fire. And there's a famous line in that movie where Eric Lytle says, "When I run, I sense God's pleasure." God made him fast, and so when he was exercising his gift, he could sense the pleasure of God, and I feel very much the same in terms of what I'm doing.
Yeah, oh, I was just curious. It's not like you get up and you say, "Well, I think I'm going to talk on the radio about God," when you're like, 5 years old. So yeah. It's just kind of, it's really cool. So God bless you. And
Thank you. My question
was, there's that scripture, and somebody else pointed out to me exactly where it was, but Jesus said, "They will do greater works than I." And I'm sure you've been questioned about this or asked about this many times, but I guess I interpret through the Holy Spirit that, you know, souls will be saved, obviously way past, you know, Christ being ascended into heaven. Souls will be won and go to heaven. And I don't believe it's so much about healing. Like, a lot of people run with that. And maybe the more the, "Oh, this feels good," prophetic kind of area where a lot of people pray and been in front of a bunch of people, and they say they go out and do a bunch of healings, which they don't have any proof. And, you know, and I always come back to say, you know what? There is 4 books about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was preaching, which he did a lot of, he healed. And I believe there had to be 4 books specifically so there would be proof from 4 different people that he did what he did. Because I think people would question it even more if there was only 1 book in the Gospels about Jesus instead of 4. So I say people without credentials or proof, you know, it's more of kind of like a hoax. Can you clarify that verse for me?
Yeah, I think you're on the right path with answering this question. Certainly, we're not going to do what the apostles did in terms of miracles. They were, in fact, attested to because of their miracles, and that's why they are our authority. So we rest upon not only the foundation of the apostles, but the foundation of the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of all of it. But the apostles would not necessarily feed 5,000 physically, but they would feed thousands spiritually. Through the anointing of the Spirit, Peter, with one message, brought 3,000 to faith in Jesus Christ. So greater than turning water into wine is feeding millions with the gospel so that they thirst no more. So here's the deal. The works are qualitatively greater because Christ's work is multiplied through all of his followers. It's not, again, as you correctly point out, that we're going to raise someone from the dead as Jesus Christ did.
Not that God couldn't do that, but that's not... The point is to spread the good news of the gospel, which that's the last thing he said.
Yeah.
The last thing he said was to go make disciples. It didn't say go and pray, you know, like, I'm married, and I'm separated from my wife because of our spiritual differences. She's into IHOP, and I'm into Billy Graham, okay? So it's kind of like a clash, you know? She's into Benny Hinn, and I believe that the man could heal people like he heals people. He'd be out in the crowd touching people instead of being up on the stage interviewing people to get up there. You know, that's a crock.
Well, you're absolutely right about that, too. And I mean, one of the events that I talk about in my book, Christianity in Crisis, is the time that I had dinner with Benny Hinn, and he was talking to me about all of his various miracles.
Really?
And healings. And I said to him, "Okay, you talk about thousands and thousands of healings. Send me your best 3. You pick them out." After some time, he did send me his hand-picked best 3. We went to work on those 3, just researching them, see if they corresponded to reality. And
sure. All
3 of them turned out to be bogus. And this is the best as he's picked them out himself. So, yeah, I mean, healings are conspicuous by
too
their...
Bad. It's really too bad. It's really too bad. And a lot of people are misled by it, and it's heartbreaking. You know, my wife's all stuck up in it. And we got married because we were Christian and didn't know each other, but we were mid-30s, never been married. We got a boy now, but we just don't click, man, because I keep preaching her the truth, and she stands on her own idea of God. I'm like, who's going to stand? Who's going to stand? I'm standing on the truth of the gospel, and you're standing on your own idea of God.
Well, I hope you'll be reconciled, but here's what I'll do, Brad. You hang on. I want to send you a copy of an article that we did in the Christian Research Journal on IHOP. Perhaps it'll be enlightening to your wife. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to R.C. in Kansas City, Missouri, listening about radio. Hi, R.C.
Hey, Hank. Always good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to
you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
I have a question. I just got a thing from Facebook today from a friend. She cited several passages in Revelation on the RFID chip that they're putting in people, and they're trying to set a bill to pass it. But really, it wasn't a question so much of, you know, does that really pertain? But I want to find out what Revelations is really talking about when it talks about the Mark of the Beast.
Yeah, it's a parody of the Mark of the Lamb. So the Mark of the Lamb that you find in Revelation chapter 14, there's a parody of that in Revelation chapter 13. The Mark of the Lamb symbolizes identity with the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The Mark of the Beast symbolizes identity with the beast and the woman that rides the beast. And so it's not necessarily a physical mark. It is what you do and your worldview identifying you in terms of who you belong to. And there's no physical mark needed. If you are a believer, people will know that you are a believer because of your faith and practice. If you are not, likewise, people will know that. So no marks are necessary. And of course, just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 would not be a physical mark where you actually see 144,000 written on your forehead or written on your forehead, the name of the city of my God or the name of my God. Obviously, that's not physically written on the forehead. So the mark of the beast isn't a physical mark. It's not a microchip. All of this is sensationalism and sophistry, has no basis in reality. Besides which, do remember that Revelation is about those things, in the words of Jesus Christ himself, which will soon take place. So Revelation is not written to us. It certainly is written for us, but it's written to seven churches in the province of Asia that are in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And they're told to be faithful and fruitful, and they're shown at the end what their reward will be. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband, and a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them.
Sounds awesome. So how would I reach her so she starts looking in the right direction?
Well, you know, it's a matter of the art and science of biblical interpretation, isn't it? It's a matter of learning how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And one of the things I do in my book, The Apocalypse Code, is lay out the principles in the art and science of biblical interpretation so those principles can actually be applied. And they are in the book applied to the book of Revelation. So you get two for one, in essence. You not only get an understanding of what is going on in the book of Revelation, but you begin to understand the art and science of biblical interpretation.
Awesome. I need to get that.
Well, hang on.
Thank you.
You got it. Good talking to you. Raj next in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Raj.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is regarding a few things. I'd like to know about the death of a person, what happens to his soul, and what is the purpose of the resurrection.
Yeah.
My first question was, Hank, like, in the Bible it says that Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and then that's when then Jesus went and called him out, and Lazarus came back to life. And also I understand that after you die that the soul goes to be with the Lord, and your body goes to the grave.
Yes.
So where was Lazarus for the last 4 days when he was dead?
Well, just as you described, he's absent from the body; he's present with the Lord. So you have that answered yourself in the prologue to the question. And in the resurrection, the soul returned, or in the resuscitation, the soul returned to the body. So this is a miracle. It is a non-normative event, but as a follower of Jesus Christ, he would have been in the presence of God until Jesus Christ resurrected him from the dead.
Okay, so when the Bible says that you're in the presence of the Lord, are you physically doing anything there? Is your soul actually doing anything, or it's just sitting in a void place?
No, you're in the presence of the Lord means that you are, and let me describe this with another Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, you are in comfort. Remember when Lazarus died, the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom or paradise. This is a way of saying that he was brought into the presence of God and he was comforted there. And so, yes, you are not only being comforted because you are now communing with the very one who knit you together in your mother's womb, but you are also communing with others who are departed and in the presence of God. So it is a wonderful experience that Paul looks forward to, and he says, you know what? Sometimes I struggle with this whole deal, whether to be here, which is more fruitful for you, or there, in other words, in the presence of God, which would be more fruitful for me. In other words, it would be a blessing to me to be in the presence of God. So, yeah, I mean, that's the struggle we all have as believers. We long to commune with God because that is the very thing that we were created for.
Yes, yes. And also, okay, another question is, like, what exactly is going to be a glorified body? Is it going to be totally different from our physical flesh and bone body that we have today?
No, it'll be physical. It will be the same in terms of being physical, but it'll be different in terms of being in a different organizational structure. Think about metamorphosis. A caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Its digestive system is completely changed. It now has a proboscis by which it takes nectar out of flowers. It now has wings. It is transformed from having eyes that can only discern between a light and dark to majestic orbs that have a field of vision and color acuity that exceeds even human vision. So there is a great metamorphosis that takes place, and we can expect the same thing. We'll be the same physically, but different organizationally. How that will be, we cannot fully say, but that it will be, we can say on the basis of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and that is the great hope of the believer. Christianity does not promise us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life. It does, however, give us something far greater, a way by which we can look forward to resurrection in which all things will be made new. And that is the hope of the believer. It is the hope that sustained the early Christian church in the midst of persecution, and it is the hope that sustains us today. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Our contact information as we tune out today on the web at sequip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. So long for now. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We pray that today's program has blessed you and deepened your understanding of Scripture. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to our website, equip.org. That's equip.org, or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Hank Hanegraaff wants to put a powerful book into your hands today. It's readable, it's short, and it's a book you'll read more than once. It's A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God. And Hank wants to send you this timeless classic to thank you for your gift to help the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast close a funding shortfall of $250,000 caused by an unexpected drop in donations over the summer months. So thank you for your support at this crucial time. And when you give, please request your copy of The Pursuit of God, which will help you experience the life of Christ in a new and vital way. All you have to do is request your copy when you call with your donation. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute.
The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.